Vedeshu yageshu tapashu taiva.
Vedeshu yageshu tapashu taiva.
Daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam.
Daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam.
Adyeti tat sarvam nidam viditva.
Adyeti tat sarvam nidam viditva.
Paiti chadyam
yogi param sanam paiti chadyam
vedeshu yageshu tapasu chayva
vedeshu yageshu tapasu chayva
daneshu yad punya palam pradishtam
daneshu yad punya palam pradishtam
yeti tat sarvam idam viditva param sthanam upaiti chadyam
yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam
vedeshu yageshu tapasu chayva
vedeshu yageshu tapasu chayva
daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam
daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam
adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva
adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva
yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam
yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam
vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chayva
vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chayva
daneshu yat punya phalam pradittam
daneshu yat punya phalam pradittam
adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva
adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva
yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam
yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam
vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chayva
vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chayva
daneshu yat punya phalam pradittam
daneshu yat punya
adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva
adyeti tat sarvam idam viditva
yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam
yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam
vedeshu
yajneshu tapasu chayva
Vedeshu,
Vedeshu,
the study of the Vedas. Yageshu,
Yageshu,
the performances of yoga, sacrifice. Tapasu,
Tapasu,
in undergoing different types of austerities. Cha,
Cha,
also.
Eva,
Eva,
servants.
Daneshu,
Daneshu,
in giving charities.
Yat,
that which.
Punya palam,
result of pious work. Pradishtam,
indicated.
Atyeti,
surpasses.
Tat sarvam,
all those.
This. Viditva,
knowing.
Yogi, the devotee.
Param,
supreme.
Sthanam,
abode. Upaiti,
achieves.
Cha, also.
Adyam,
original. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerities, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these. And at the end, he reaches the supreme eternal abode. This verse is the summation of the 7th and 8th chapters, which particularly deal with Krishna consciousness and devotional service. One has to study the Vedas under the guidance of a spiritual master and undergo many austerities and penances while living under his care. A brahmachari has to live in the home of the spiritual master, just like a servant, and he must beg alms from door to door and bring them to the spiritual master. He takes food only under the spiritual master's order, and if the master neglects to call the student for food that day, the student fasts. These are some of the main principles for observing brahmacharya. After the student studies the Vedas under the master for some time, at least from age 5 to 20, he becomes a man of perfect character. Study of the Vedas is not meant for the recreation of armchair speculators, but for the formation of character. After this training, the brahmachari is allowed to enter into household life and marry. When he's a householder, he has to perform many sacrifices so that he may achieve further enlightenment. He must also give charity according to country, time, and candidate, discriminating among charity in goodness, compassion, and in ignorance, as described in Bhagavad Gita. Then, after retiring from household life, upon accepting the order of Vanaprastha, he undergoes severe penances, living in forests, dressing with tree bark, not shaving, etc.
Yeah, white torture. I'm not going to be happy here. Liberators.
By carrying out the orders of brahmacharya, household life, vanaprastha, and finally sannyas, one becomes elevated to the perfectional stage of life. Some are then elevated to the heavenly kingdoms, and when they become even more advanced, they are liberated in the spiritual sky, either in the impersonal Brahmajyoti, or in the Vaikuntha planets, or Krishna Loka. This is the path outlined by Vedic literature.
Om Madhana Kimiran Hasya Kyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nidhikam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Kadam Maitam Pratati Papadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagada Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sahagutam Parijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vandita Sri Vishakantita He Krishna Karuna Sindho Nirbandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Kapta Kamsana Golangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vāśā bhūtadrūpyaśca upāsanto yedivaśa pavitānāṁ pāvanebhyo vaiṣṇavebhyo namo namaha. Śrī Kṛṣṇa Caitanya Prabhu Nityānanda Śrī Advaita Gadādhara Śrī Vāśāni Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vedeshu yageshu tupashu saiva, daneshu yantune pavadhu shtama, adyeti tat sarva dhamma, vidhva, yogi paramasthana hai. Srila Prabhupada begins by outlining the traditional varnashram karma system. This word Hindu is a foreign word, foreign to the Vedic literature. The original term is Sanatana Dharma. And the Sanatana Dharma system is the Sanatana Dharma is Varnashram. The division of society into four social orders and four spiritual orders. Four orders of occupation and four orders of progress through different stages of life. So here Srila Prabhupada describes those ashrams, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Grihastha, and Grihastha Vanaprastha, and something else. So, that in those orders we find all of these things: Vedeshu, Yogeshu, Tapashu, Daneshu. In Brahmachari life, Vedeshu, the Brahmacharis study the Vedas, the Vedic literature, under the guidance of the spiritual masters, and they're taught in the development of character. The modern system of so-called education doesn't care about the development of character, or they give some lip service, or they have some idea about character, but it's a pretty loose idea. And we see the practical result that people are produced, goods are produced who behave like cats and dogs. And so the colleges and universities are places of learning and indiscriminate sex. That's just the way it is. Srila Prabhupada gave the story where you walk through a university campus and they're so well endowed and they're in this building and that building and so many wonderful facilities. But they produce men of low character. Prabhupada gave the example of the Himalayas, and it was said that the Himalayas were supposed to, the word went out that the Himalayas were going to give birth to a child. So the greatest mountains in the world were going to give birth to a child, so people gathered from all directions to see what kind of child would come. And at the predicted time, the earth began shaking and trembling, and rumbling was heard, and the mountain cracked open, and out of the little crack, some rats began running. So the Himalayas gave birth to some rats. So Prabhupada compared this to the modern university education, where they produced men of such high character. But the Vedic system means that from the very beginning, Vasantanta Guru, the students were taught to control their senses, which is not in the curriculum, in the modern scheme of things. But they were taught to control their senses. And to engage as menial servants of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Krishna. So Shastri Pragya Paramahamsa Bhagavatam. According to the instructions of Buddha Dharma, they were trained in Bhagavatam, the Pranashtra. So, Vedesh, they would study the Vedas. Vedeshu, Yajneshu, and in householder life, one is supposed to perform different yajnas, sacrifices, according to the traditional system. The kings would perform grand scale sacrifices. But all of the householders, there is something, because one inevitably performs sinful activities in the course of daily life.
You pick up a glass and put it down. You kill so many living entities. You walk on the grass, kill so many living entities.
Light a fire to cook, kill so many living entities. And if one is living for one's own happiness, then one has to pay for all these things. So there are some yajnas that the householders are supposed to perform for purification. And donation, the householders are supposed to give charity. Of course, the kings would give great charity, but every householder is expected to give charity. The brahmacharis are purified by Vedic study and by living as humble servants of the spiritual master. And the householders are purified by charity. Rupa Goswami set the example of giving half of his income, half of his collected wealth, for the service of the Lord and the Vaishnavas. Of Dhamma. Yajna Dhamma Tapas Chaita Bhavanani Manishi. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Yajna and charity, Yajna Dhamma and Tapa, austerity, are purifying for everyone, and therefore no one should give them up. So the householders are supposed to perform yajnas, sacrifices, and give charity. And then in the vanaprastha life, austerity. Because in householder life, one becomes attached to material comfort, material enjoyment. But one is not supposed to remain in that attachment and so-called enjoyment for the whole of one's life. Therefore, in the later stage, the vanaprastha ashram is to be accepted. Even great opulent kings, like Prithu Maharaj, and others would leave home. They gave up their kingdom, went off to the forest, gave up their royal dress, gave up their royal comforts, and lived in severe austerity. The question. Here it's mentioned living in tree bark. You're in tree bark and living on roots and berries. This is how the vanaprasthas would live. Vedeshu, Yajneshu, Tapasu, and the sannyasis also tend to undergo austerity after the vanaprastha stage and sannyas. This is the traditional system for gradual advancement in spiritual life. Or even in pious life. Actually, the system is meant for reaching Krishna. But people would follow the system, at least for getting punya karma. Maybe they would want to go to the heavenly planets. Maybe they would hope that in their next birth they would be wealthy or they would have good fortune in this or that way. At least that they would not be overcome, overwhelmed by sinful reactions. So those who are more advanced would follow this system for the sake of spiritual enlightenment, and those who were less advanced would follow it for the sake of getting punya karma or pious prayer. But here, Srila Prabhupada indicates, or Krishna indicates, that by Krishna consciousness, the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that by one stroke, by engaging in devotional service, one can surpass all the rituals of the different orders of life. Sarvamidam, all of it. Yeti means one attains or one surpasses. Prabhupada translates it both ways. One has to go through so much trouble by following all of these practices, all of these disciplines. But without Krishna consciousness, the gain is not substantial. And if one performs Krishna consciousness, then one goes beyond all of the whole realm of the Vedas. He goes beyond. He gets whatever there might be to attain and surpasses all of this. The words idam viditva indicate that one should understand the instructions given by Sri Krishna in this chapter and the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One should try to understand these chapters not by scholarship or mental speculation, but by hearing them in association with devotees. Chapters 7 through 12 are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The first six and the last six chapters are like coverings for the middle six chapters, which are specially protected by the Lord. If one is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita, especially these middle six chapters in the association of devotees, then his life at once becomes glorified beyond all penances, sacrifices, charities, speculations, etc. For one can achieve all the results of these activities simply by Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, the first six chapters deal generally with karma yoga. The last six chapters deal especially with jnana yoga, and the middle six especially with bhakti yoga. Of course, one finds something of everything throughout Bhagavad Gita, and especially throughout Bhagavad Gita one finds devotional service, bhakti yoga. But these middle six chapters particularly focus on bhakti yoga, and therefore they are considered the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the middle six are protected by the other six on each side. Something like a book, you have the text inside and you have the covers on the outside. So the most essential portion is the inner portion. Or Srila Prabhupada one time gave the example of a sandwich. You have the bread on the top, the bread on the bottom, and the real stuff is in the middle. So the essence of Bhagavad Gita is especially found in these middle six chapters, which focus particularly on devotional service. So Viditva, having understood Bhagavad Gita, or especially the science of devotional service, one goes beyond all of the other processes. And punya phalam, whatever pious benefit one might get, whatever is indicated, pradishta means indicated, whatever pious result is indicated from doing all of these other things, one automatically obtains. if one simply remains focused on Vedic rituals, he's not very much appreciated in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are following all of these rituals simply for attaining higher planets or a better life on Earth are childish. Amitashtita, Krishna says. Veda Vadarata, they're very much concerned about the words of the Vedas, but missing the essence. The essence is devotional service to Krishna.
So one should understand the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada mentions in the association of devotees. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken to Arjuna.
Because he's a devotee of Krishna, because he's a friend of Krishna, Krishna selected him to understand the secrets of Bhagavad Gita, which are inaccessible by Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, or other methods. So, and Arjuna at the end accepted everything Krishna said and surrendered to him in the spirit of devotional service. But if one wants to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, then one should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, or one should hear Bhagavad Gita in the association of those who are following the path of Arjuna by devotional service, not the path of Duryodhana or others who don't appreciate the supremacy of Krishna, who think that Krishna is an ordinary human being that they can capture by their mundane methods. One who has a little faith in Bhagavad Gita should learn Bhagavad Gita, become a devotee. Because in the beginning of the fourth chapter, it is stated clearly that Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees. No one else can perfectly understand the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee of Krishna, not from mental speculators. This is a sign of faith. In this paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is going to be taking us through the process of gradual development of devotional service. That's described in Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. The beginning is to have some faith. Or sometimes Srila Prabhupada explains Shraddha as interest. Some interest. We have some faith. We come here because we have some interest. That means faith. We think, well, there might be something here. We go to a store because there's a sale. We have some interest and we have some faith that some opportunity is there for saving money or getting some good product. Interest. Some interest in the subject matter. Or some faith in the subject matter. At least something good must be here. Aroshattva. The beginning is to have some interest or some faith. Someone comes to hear about Krishna. All right, let me see what it's about. He has some preliminary interest, some preliminary faith, but at least it'll be worth my time to investigate and see what they're up to. Adavashvata. And tata, sadhusanga. The next thing is to associate with devotees. When one searches for a devotee and fortunately gets a devotee's association, one actually begins to understand Bhagavad Gita. It's indicated here that one should search out an advanced devotee of Krishna. And especially one should place oneself under the guidance of an advanced devotee of Krishna. A spiritual master is a person who's advanced in the devotional service of Krishna, understanding the science of devotional service. Yea, Krishna Tatvadeva Shayuva. Kiva Shudra Kiva Nyasi, Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi, Shudra Kaneva. It doesn't matter whether he's coming from a Brahmin family, whether he's a sannyasi, or whether he's a Shudra. Doesn't matter. Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, that's not the criterion. Criterion is Jai Krishna Tattva Deva. One who understands Krishna Tattva, who understands Krishna as he is. Janma Karma Tanevidyam. Who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities. Tattva Deva Pranajanamayam. He becomes free from all material entanglements. And all of the people go back home back to Godhead. But one should understand the science of Krishna in the association of devotees. People sometimes ask, how do I find a spiritual master? You look in the association of devotees. Prabhupada said, if you're looking, if you want to buy diamonds, then you don't go to the cloth market. You go to the diamond market. So if we want to find a bona fide spiritual master, then we shouldn't look among the mental speculators, among the magicians, among the followers of pious activities, pious ritualistic activities. We should look in the association of devotees. That's the place. Because, as Prabhupada quotes, birds of a feather flock together. So if we look at the association of devotees, that's where we'll find those who are advanced in devotional service. Not in the association of the jnanis, the yogis, or the sense enjoyers, but in the association of devotees. So, when one searches for a devotee, and fortunately gets a devotee's association, one actually begins to study and understand Bhagavad Gita. The process of advancement is not by magic or by some other means, but by hearing about Krishna from standard books of knowledge like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and learning how to put them into practical, the teachings into practical action. By advancement in the association of the devotee, one is placed in devotional service, and this dispels all one's misgivings about Krishna or God, and Krishna's activities, form, pastimes, name, and other features. So this is Pajana Kriya. In the association of a devotee, one learns how to perform devotional service. There are some practices to follow, some things to accept, some things to reject. There's a path of devotional service. It's not just sentiment, but practical action. So one takes up the path of Krishna Pajana. And the next thing is anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti means the unwanted things within the heart are extinguished. Especially doubts about Krishna. Shraddha means some faith in Krishna, but there may still be some doubts. So those doubts have to be smashed by the weapon of knowledge. Yes. By the weapon of knowledge. Let's explain. By the Lord, by the Lord. misgivings. Well, I don't know, and maybe I shouldn't perform devotional service. If I become a devotee, then what will my family think, or will it affect my job, my earning? What will my friends, how will it affect this, how will it affect that? What about this and what about that? So many misgivings may be there. Hesitations may be there. Arjuna would completely give up. No, I can't fight, even though you're telling me to fight. I can't fight because my friends, my relatives, my this, my that. The sinful activities, sinful reactions will overcome me because this social consequence, that. So he had so many misgivings on account of his misunderstanding arising from the words. So Krishna dispelled that ignorance, that illusion, nashtamoha. And then Arjuna was prepared to follow Krishna's command by fully engaging him in his prescribed service. Misgivings about Krishna, about his activities, forms, name, that means that one may begin with some impersonal idea of God, that there's some superior truth which has no form, no qualities, no activities, and Krishna is a lesser manifestation of that. So this misunderstanding is to be dispelled by knowledge of Krishna as he is. Thinking of Krishna as one of so many gods, there's Krishna, there's Ganesh, there's Durga, there's Shiva, there's so many, and they're all on an equal level. That misunderstanding also is to be dispelled by knowledge received from the association of the advanced devotee. After these misgivings have been perfectly cleared away, one becomes fixed in one's study. Nishtha. Nishtha means fixed. Then one relishes the study of Bhagavad Gita and attains the state of feeling always Krishna conscious. Ruchi, Srila Prabhupada glosses here as a taste for studying Bhagavad Gita. One may have some more esoteric idea, but here, Ruchi, one develops a taste for hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada. And bhava, the state of feeling always Krishna conscious. What is that? In Hindi, our Krishna consciousness society is called Sri Krishna Pavanavansa. The society for the appreciating the nectar of devotional service to Krishna, for bhava Krishna. Krishna, Sri Krishna Pavanavansa. One attains the state of feeling always Krishna conscious in the advanced stage when falls completely in love with Krishna Prema. This highest perfectional stage of life enables the devotee to be transferred to Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, the Loka Vrindavan, where the devotee becomes eternally happy. Thus ends the Bhakti Vedanta purports to the 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of attaining the Supreme. So this is that chapter, attaining the Supreme. The Supreme is Krishna. He has his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and his particular place. Yandi Deva Vata Devan Vitri Nyati Kati Vata Bhutani Nyati Bhutteja. The demigods have their abode, the ancestors have their place, everyone has some particular place, and Krishna also has his place. that's described in this eighth chapter, the transcendental abode of Krishna. And it's more fully described in Kramasamhita as the Chintamanita, the perfect destination for every living being. And that supreme abode one can attain by this process of devotional service, by being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and especially through this chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So one should take up this process under superior guidance, as indicated here, and make one's life successful. Some questions, comments? Okay.
What the middle six are protected by the other six? What are they protected from?
The Jnana Karmadhyaya Navrata, from mental speculation and fruitive activities and so on. There's so many ideas. Anyabhiraj, something other than Krishna consciousness, something other than devotional service. Krishna says, Vandeyam Shrimati, this thing shelter of me, devotional service. Manmana Puravatmata. So these six chapters, which are devoted especially to that conclusion, are protected by these other chapters from everything else. Anyabhirajita. Something else?
Character here was contrasted with armchair speculation. Could you explain what character actually consists of?
Yes. The character means, begins with control of the mind and control of the senses. Character, good character is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Amanitva, Dhamitva, Ninsa, Shantir, Arjuna, Acharya, Pashama, Chocham, Sthanya, Matva, Vidindra. Vyarteshu, Vairagya, Kunama, Kaya, Vedicha, Jandra, Vidhi, Jada, Yadu, Vidhi, Dosha, Vidhi, Satkana, Vishpanda, Vidhi, Dada, Vidhi, like that. The items of knowledge are described in the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada explains that they're not exactly items of knowledge, but they're the methods of acquiring knowledge, or they constitute the path of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge is amanitva, humility. We all now, young children are encouraged to be assertive, to be, care of everybody else, competitive. But real character begins with humility. Amanitva. Amanitva means, mana means false ego. I'm thinking I'm this body, and because I'm this body, I'm thinking so many things. I acquire a puffed up idea, I am American, I am white, or I am black, or I am this, or I am that. Some concocted idea of who one is. I am a very good student, I am a very good this, I am a very good that. All pride and false prestige, which are symbols of ignorance. The beginning of knowledge is amanitva, humility. The person who's actually advanced is the humble person. Adhambitva, not arrogant, just the opposite, mild, gentle person. Or Prabhupada explained in summary, the symptom of a Krishna conscious person, the sign of a Krishna conscious person, is that he's a perfect gentleman. That's the summary of the whole thing.
Hard to find a gentleman these days.
Cheaters, liars, drunkards, womanizers. Where's the gentleman?
He beaters.
Hard to find a gentleman. But speaking of a Krishna conscious person, even a gentleman is hard to find. So, Amanatva, Adambitva, Ahimsa, non-violent, not stuffing horses into his mouth, or not allowing others to suffer for lack of spiritual knowledge, he wants to help them. Shanti, he's tolerant. Arjava, straightforward. What you see is what you get. He'll tell the truth even to an enemy. Yudhisthira Maharaj is the example of a perfect gentleman. He's always guided by principles of Acharya Upasana, accepting the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. Now it's fashionable for everyone to be his own. Some Indian philosopher who says, you don't need teachers, you should be your own teacher. Of course, that raises the question what we need him for. But the idea is popular that everyone should be his own man. But Bhagavad Gita says, no, Acharya Upasana. One should place oneself under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, but the young Arjuna Masada will make a big exchange. If one wants to know the real purpose of life, one must exchange. One must place oneself under the guidance of an advanced spiritual master. Acharya Upasana Chocham, to be inwardly and outwardly clean, styling, steady, Atma Vinigraha, self-controlled. Indriyarteshu Vairagam, to be detached from objects of sense gratification. Anahamkara, free from false ego. Janmamrityu Jaradhyadi Tukadosha Nidasha, always aware of the miseries of birth, death, disease, and old age. Not glossing over them. Well, live for today. Take the good with the bad. All these slogans. What Krishna says is ignorance. One should be keenly aware of these things. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshana Asamta Anadishpanga Putra Dara Vyadhi, not overly attached to family members, not more attached than one is then ordained in Vedic literature. A certain amount of attachment, understood, to be badly attached to family life is not advised. Putra Dharma Vihanshu. What's that? Samachitta Tvam Nishtanishto Vibhakishu. To be equipoised with whether
regardless of whether he gets what he wants, he doesn't get what he wants. He's steady. His consciousness is steady. And so on. So, perfect gentleman, that's the symptom of a learned person like a yogi.
And what's wrong with mental armchair speculation?
Armchair speculation, it doesn't do anything. We know one scholar, he's no longer. He was a great, fantastic scholar. Scholars are really something. They know so much if they're really good. They can tell you the ins and outs of everything. We know of one scholar. He was expert in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Postgraduate study of Krishna consciousness. He even wrote a big scholarly translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And of course he was fluent in Bengali, he was expert in Sanskrit, great professor, and a drunkard. Well, then what's the use? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the highest perfection of love of God. And this is kindergarten. No intoxicants, no gambling, no meat eating, no disrespect. These are the basic entry requirements. He can't even get in the door of the process of devotional service. And he's a great professor of the most advanced faith. So it means that for him it's just something to study. Rabindranath Prabhu was telling me there's an exhibit in the Brooklyn Museum right now of various items from India. So naturally there's so many murtis of Krishna. And they're there as art objects. It's something to study, something to look at. That's not the idea. The deity is to be worshipped. And of course the foreigners go to India and plunder the temples and steal the deities and put them in their museums as something to look at. And admire the art. It means they missed the point. There was a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine. It showed a young, yuppie sort of fellow, well-to-do young man, in what must have been a Park Avenue apartment with the windows there. You see the skyline. And he's lying on a couch with a book dangling from his arm, and he's got a telephone in the other. And the caption says, "Oh, nothing. Just reading the Upanishads." Yeah, this is what we do to pass an afternoon. Lie on the couch, read the Upanishads, watch a movie. Won't go from one interesting thing to another, but it doesn't change our life. If one actually wants to get the benefit of this literature, then one has to follow the process, as Srila Prabhupada outlines here. It's not just that we pick up the Upanishads or casually read them or read them in the university under scholarly guidance. The scholarship is not the ticket for going back to Godhead. One has to become a devotee of Krishna. Then one will get the result. Armchair scholarship. Simply sitting in an armchair in some club, in some scholarly gathering. What do you make of blah, 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 blah? Well, I've always thought blah, 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 blah. Doesn't go anywhere. That after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, surrender to Krishna. Okay? Yes? Double out, if you would.
The word ashram,
I'm sorry, triple that.
So Varnashrama Dharma was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Even when he was leaving the planet, he was talking about Varnashrama. But in India, Varnashrama is looked down upon because the lower caste were exploited by the Brahma.
That may be, but there's a, what is it, abusus non tollit usum? I think that's the Latin, something to that effect. It means abuse doesn't invalidate proper use. Abuse of something doesn't invalidate proper use.
Right. But how will that again get re-established? Because the whole world...
Excuse me, quadruple loud. Don't make it hard. You just speak loud. If it's worth saying, it's worth saying loud.
My question is, how will that get re-established? Because the whole world...
Gradually.
If India itself doesn't accept it.
The Krishna consciousness movement has to introduce these things. Obviously, that is a big topic, but it's not going to happen on its own. Somebody has to push it. So probably one of us to push it. One way to push it is some of the older men can step the line across the ashram and they'll have more time to push it. Yes. Oh, you really need to be louder. Please.
The information you were referring to earlier on Grihastha life and the different samskaras that are helpful to help one sort of get the balance and move forward in their devotional life to Krishna. I was wondering if you could give me information to me as a an actual mom who's aspiring to be a Vaishnava one day and helps particularly with maintaining the balance with, you know, discipline, example in learning, and also with dealing with, you know, the material aspects of, you know, driving to the grocery store and taking the children to school and things like that, along with, you know, time issues with chanting and sadhana and all these other things that sort of get a little twisted around when you give birth and, you know, have to take care of the household and children. I'm thankful that I have many years of listening to lectures, and I actually had the opportunity to live in an ashram at Kipanagri for 3 years before I married my husband. So I got a really, really big piece of that pie before I surrendered to being a mother, along with all the other things that come along with being a mother and a wife. And if you could give just a little information on that.
Some of these topics are somewhat beyond the realm of my practical expertise. The first thing is to keep it simple. There's so many built up sorts of things that we could try to do. But that's a principle in Nectar of Devotion, not to try to do more than what is reasonably achievable. So what's reasonably achievable? Our basic program of sadhana, once you try to follow. Rising early in the morning, I understand that children don't respect that principle, and that their prescribed duties to make it difficult for their mothers to sleep at night. But somehow or other to adjust things in such a way that one can rise early in the morning. And the morning time is the best time for spiritual activities. Once you get going and all that grocery store stuff comes and children are all running around, then it becomes more difficult to do those things. So if you can do that early, which is the best time anyway, then you're in a strong position for the rest of your day. That's the most important thing. Chanting 16 rounds, that you should do. and hearing. They're, for those who, I'm not the world's expert in time management, but there's an aphorism, I think it's G.K. Chesterton, anyway, look to the minutes and the hours will take care of themselves. And you can always find some minute to either waste or use for Krishna consciousness. So those who are experts, they're always finding some way. While cooking, they're hearing something about Krishna. While doing this, there's something Krishna conscious. If you're going to the grocery store, you take some books with you. You don't know who you're going to meet. And you get to speak something about Krishna and you get enlightened. So it's possible. Some of my god sisters have assured me that actually it is possible and that they've done it in their own practical life. So it's not just theoretical. Those who do have experience in these things can say that, yes, one who's serious can do it. Shall we stop here?
There's one other thing I was interested in, if it's time. All right. Yeah, sometimes when preaching to students, you have to clear up the Hindu word. Mm-hmm. And as far as I've noticed, Prabhupada almost always said, Varnashrama.
Mm-hmm.
But you said now that actually it's Sanatana Dharma.
Sanatana Dharma. Prabhupada uses that word.
And you said that was the system of Sanatana Dharma.
Yeah, Varnashram is the practical social implementation for cultivating Sanatana Dharma. Or when we look at so-called Hindu Dharma, whatever that's supposed to be, actually it's Varnashram. According to the Shastras, there's no Hindu Dharma. But there's the duties of a Brahmin, the duties of a Kshatriya, the duties of a Vaishya, the duties of a Shudra, the duties of a Brahmachari, a Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. There are duties for everyone. Duty can be taken as harm. But that system of prescribed duties is there. Varnashrama Charavata, Ushena Pranakrama. Vishnu Rajitate. And the system is meant for the worship of Vishnu, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nanyat Tatsoja Karma.
Challenging that it's hierarchical for those who don't have God consciousness. When Prabhupada was in Stockholm, he gave a lecture and he asked Ajit on the way, what are people interested here? And Ajit said, well, politics. And left-wing politics. The Prabhupada went into the university there with all these students and said, first class man, second class man, third class man, and they went through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada, you know, was...
Yeah, Prabhupada put it on the line anyway.
Yeah, right.
People may accept it or not accept it, but he would tell it like it is. Mm-hmm. Even in the Soviet Union, which was dedicated to a classless society. There were first class men, second class men, third class men, fourth class men. The professors were not sweeping the streets. The street sweepers weren't teaching the university courses. The fourth class men were not the generals. And so on. Krishna says this system is everywhere because it's created by me. May not be recognized and scientifically followed, but wherever you go. And here we're in America, the land of opportunity, class, we don't believe in class, but the garbage truck workers aren't running the government. We're teaching in the schools. Why not? If everybody's the same, why don't we have the sanitation engineers, as they're called, these things? Why don't you have them teach nuclear physics?
Yeah. The word India is also...
And for that matter, when you want a guy who will work, why don't you hire a university professor? You know, when you want somebody to smash bricks and really get a lot done, dig something and build a road, why don't you go looking for a team of university professors, you know, skinny little intellectuals. You know, oversized brains and undersized muscles. Why don't you go looking for them? It's everywhere. There are different classes of people. You can accept that or not accept it. But everybody accepts it. Even while they're speaking against it, they accept it. And then back to their dealings. When they need a doctor, they don't go to a street sweeper. And so on. But when, you know, when they need protection, they dial 911. They don't expect somebody to come with a book under his hand and, you know, glasses and a... what do they call that? Anyway, you know, dressed up to the professor. A notebook and briefcase. Well, not even briefcase, whatever professors have. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for a guy who's built like a tank, and he's got a club and he's looking to use it. He's got a firearm and he's says, That's what they're looking for. You don't want an intellectual to come and analyze the sociological impact of the situation. These four classes are everywhere. Just that should be properly organized. And the most important thing is that all the sections, everyone should be engaged in Krishna service. The real problem is that the intellectuals became degraded. The so-called problems. It starts with Sringi. The so-called Brahman, son of the Brahman, who cursed Krishna. That's how Kali Yuga enters. Kali Yuga deteriorates the Brahminical quality so that the leaders who should be helping people to understand that they're not this body, that they're spiritual living beings, are themselves so contaminated that they think, yes, I'm a Brahmin because my father was a Brahmin. That means he's thinking he's this body, which is the first principle of ignorance. And what is the use of this being a Brahmin? Meaning, where there's some Brahmin, he became a politician and very elected to the highest post in India. And someone asked him, Pandaji, could you explain such and such thing from Bhagavad Gita? He said, what can I explain from Bhagavad Gita? I'm a politician. Then what's the use of your being a Brahmin? So, therefore, Prabhupada's approach was that first we have to create a section of that who are Brahminical. If you want the social body to work again, then you have to put a head on it. Without the head, it's not going to work. Now that we've created feet, creating men of the shudra category, people who are employees only, that the Dominican culture is needed to give direction, vision. The head is required. And in any case, everyone should be Krishna conscious. Then whatever discrepancies there may be, you can get past. The problem on the national should be Krishna. Should we stop? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krishna.